Now in a logo, a towering block of gold letters reads 20th Century Fox. Hollywood spotlights crisscross their shining skyward beams. More words appear, a News Corporation company. A blue light trails over a black background, tracing out a cursive R. Block letters spell out Regency. Now, blackness. A faint, pale movement flickers almost imperceptibly in and out of view. Light flares, piercing the blackness. Sparks fly from a grinding metal wheel. The tire rim flips away from us and our view tumbles. We glimpse a car skidding across a bridge on its roof. Coming to a stop, we see the ceiling of a stone archway. Now, a scraggly-haired man sits on asphalt, gripping one hand in the other. Behind a taxi, fire consumes an SUV on a bridge. As the scraggly-haired man stares off pensively, flashes show the tire rim. Our view drifts away as he hugs his knees close to his chest. The SUV blazing beside him, he sits with his back to several lanes of stopped traffic. He gets up and walks toward blurry lights in the distance, leaving the fire behind. Looking down through the bridge's framing, we watch the SUV burn. As the scraggly-haired man steps out of the shadows, his pale, youthful features come into focus. His face morphs into that of another man who opens his eyes and looks around. As the man gets up, his head stays centered in our view while the background moves in a concave distortion. Sitting on the edge of a bed, he looks down at a diamond ring in his hand. On the wall behind him, a grouping of 12 square paintings depicts abstract images of an archway. As the man's eyes shift uncertainly, the indoor background becomes the sky. Wearing a wool suit, he rides a bike across a bridge. A cyclist in a ski mask cuts in front of him. The man in the wool suit sneers and shakes his head. A facade's mirrored windows show his reflection cycling by in distorted slivers. Now we peer out from a narrow mailbox as a blonde woman retrieves a letter. The man in the wool suit bumps into her, knocking a cup of coffee from her hand.
Hey, watch where you're going, you old klutz.
Sorry.
You gonna pick that up? Pervert. You're late. I've been looking all over for you.
I slipped right through the alarm clock. That baby kept me up all night.
What baby?
I don't know. Our neighbors have a kid.
Our neighbors are 90 years old.
Her mouth hangs agape as he reaches for her cheek.
You want to try and get the paint on the canvas?
I like it messy.
Oh, yeah? I gotta go.
He gives her a kiss, then walks past her. She turns around.
Hey.
The man's gone. She lowers her gaze and shuts the mailbox. Now, in a stark gray and white office, a figure stands at a window.
I just start drinking and doing a lot of, like, pills.
A receptionist uses a phone.
Then it just kills the pain, and then I can just deal with it.
The man in the wool suit arrives.
I'm just saying that work. I'm not telling you to drink. I know you go to meetings. I'm just telling you what works for me, okay?
He grabs a folder.
You know, it's really hard to deal with those things. Well, drinking kills feelings, that's why.
He enters the office. It's the scraggly-haired man at the window.
It's gonna hail this afternoon.
You think? Looks pretty sunny to me.
Who the fuck are you?
I'm Dr. Sam Foster. You must be Henry.
Where's Dr. Levy?
Didn't she get in touch with you?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. She's away for a while. I'm covering for her.
She's away where?
She's not feeling well. She'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Sam heads behind a desk and digs into his briefcase.
What are you, a substitute shrink?
I guess you could call me that.
Henry's mouth hangs slightly agape.
This is her office.
Yeah, we share it. I'm only here a few hours a week. Please, take a seat.
Sam sits at the desk.
Oh, I see.
Henry paces near the opposite wall.
So you treat the depressed investment bankers, paranoid housewives all week. You come up here, you do a little pro bono work.
It's the other way around. The bankers are paranoid and the housewives are depressed.
Henry meets Sam's friendly smile with an irritable smirk.
Now, you're a junior at the college, is that right? Majoring in fine art?
The psychiatrist picks up a notepad.
She passed me off to you, huh? You get to hard cases.
Does it make you uncomfortable that I'm filling in for her?
She was trying to help me.
I'll try and help you too.
Henry stands with his arms folded.
Is she afraid of me? Is that why she's gone? I scare her.
Should she be afraid of you?
Henry lifts his brow, shakes his head cryptically, and turns away. Sam rubs his lower lip, then puts a pen to his notepad. One wall of frosted glass cubes lets in stark daylight, occasionally casting the men in silhouette.
I've read your file.
And can I read your file?
Tell me why you're here.
I thought you read the file.
You torched your car. Why?
The patient scratches the back of his neck.
I don't remember. I just woke up and I was in the car and it was on fire.
Sam nods.
Is that something you do? Set fires?
Henry is seated by a partition of pebbled glass.
I didn't mean to hurt anybody.
Shadow veils the right side of Sam's face.
Who did you hurt?
Daylight illuminates Henry's right side. He looks around.
I don't know. I'm gonna go.
No, please sit down. We have more time.
No, I'm gonna go home before this hail starts.
The window overlooks a courtyard.
So the King of Holland goes hunting in the woods with one of his assistants. And they're looking around, and suddenly on the other side of the clearing, a farmer walks by. Hold still.
In the courtyard.
And the king raises his rifle, and the farmer yells, "I'm not a moose."
The blonde sketches Sam.
And the king shoots and kills the guy, and the assistant's shocked. And he says, "Sire, the man said, 'I'm not a moose.'" "Oh," says the king, "I thought he said, 'I am a moose.'"
Looking up from her work, she sees her boyfriend's humorless expression.
"It's a joke."
Sam stares off pensively.
"No, I'm just trying to figure out if I'm the king or the farmer."
He faces his grinning girlfriend.
"You're the moose."
"I'm the moose?"
"Yeah."
Her sketch shows him with antlers.
"Well, I appear to be the moose."
As she crumples it up, he frowns.
"It's shit."
"It's not shit."
He gazes adoringly into her eyes.
"It's not shit."
Holding her hands, he runs his thumb under her right sleeve, then looks down. She briefly follows his gaze to three long scars running up the inside of her wrist. He turns her palm downward.
"Still there."
"Sometimes I forget."
He lifts his gaze to hers.
"They're from another life."
They exchange nods. Still holding hands, they lean in for a kiss. They smile at each other. Hailstones rain down on them. A view through hail-pelted glass shows them hurrying off. Nighttime. Perched behind a car's steering wheel, we drive down a city street. Our view turns to a curly-haired woman in the passenger seat.
I love this song.
Now, in a crowded subway car, Henry lights a cigarette. A woman with an olive complexion rides opposite him.
"I know you. Psych 221, Professor Azabardi? You did that presentation on psychosis in Tristan River, right?"
"No smoking on the train."
A mustached man with white hair scowls.
"Look at the sign, fella. No smoking."
As Henry continues to smoke, the man glares through his rimless glasses.
"Capiche? Put it out."
Smiling to himself, the art student takes another drag on his cigarette.
"Put out the fucking cigarette."
Henry rolls up his sleeve and puts it out on his forearm. Seated next to him, a stern-faced man in a brown ball cap grimaces. The white-haired commuter shifts his jaw disgustedly.
"You ought to be locked up, you asshole."
A plastic bag containing a doll dangles from a handrail. The doors slide open and a woman strides in.
"Beth, Sam, I hope you're getting some rest."
Sam's girlfriend steps past him in a living room.
"I met with your patient today, Henry Latham."
Sam's on the phone.
I'd really like to talk to you about him. Give me a call, okay? I want to hear your voice.
He hangs up.
You don't think it's a little odd predicting a hailstorm like that?
So he watches the Weather Channel.
No, I looked in the newspaper. There was nothing about hail today.
How's Beth?
I don't know. She hasn't returned any of my calls.
She always kind of liked you, didn't she?
Are you jealous?
He turns away from a window.
Of Beth?
No, I'm just faking it.
Your students love you.
My students love me because I give them all A's.
She leafs through pencil sketches.
What the fuck do I know? This kid could be the next Rothko.
Sam watches her toss the stiff folio pages aside. She rests her chin on her palm, then takes off her shoes. She runs her hands through her wavy, golden blonde hair.
Tell me I'm good.
You're good.
Tell me they'll remember me.
Who's they?
The world.
Is that what you want? The world will remember you.
She turns away from him.
Now take off your clothes.
As a smile creeps across her lips, she looks back at him. Now the Brooklyn Bridge stretches over the East River. Sam looks out at the view from behind a desk. We round the corner of a pebbled glass partition. Henry steps into the doorway.
Hey.
Sam straightens. Henry enters wearing a gray t-shirt over a black button-down. Jaw clenched, he points to a painting hanging on the wall behind Sam.
Who did that?
My girlfriend.
Where'd you get that?
Henry points to a ring on the desk.
This? I bought it.
Sam picks it up. Flashing a smile, Henry steps away as the psychiatrist pockets the ring.
Henry, what are you doing here? I wasn't expecting you. I have someone coming in.
The college student leans against a window frame. Sitting back, Sam folds his hands and swivels in his black leather chair.
So have you considered a career in meteorology? The weatherman said something about hail?
Smiling, he gestures toward Henry.
The weatherman? No.
He paces, then turns toward Sam.
You know I can't even listen to him anymore?
Henry sits on a black leather couch.
I don't understand a word that comes out of his mouth.
You don't understand the weatherman?
No.
Wearing a tweed jacket over a black vest, Sam eyes him curiously.
But you do?
Sure, he says rain, I bring an umbrella.
Hands fidgeting, Henry looks away from him. Sam gets up.
Henry, give me something.
He heads around his desk.
I'm good at what I do.
Sam folds his arms. Henry purses his lips.
Well, I'm hearing voices now.
Voices.
They come and they go, but when they are there...
You hearing them now?
Henry smiles and nods.
Okay.
Sam fetches his notepad and flips to a new page.
Can you write down what they're saying?
He gives it to Henry along with a pen. As the patient writes, Sam paces toward a window.
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Foster, it's Frederick.
Watching Henry, Sam moves back to the window. He scratches his ear as the college student continues writing.
Can you read it to me? Can you read it to me?
He sits down next to his patient.
Hey, Dr. Foster, it's Frederick.
This voice isn't in your head. This is a real voice.
Okay, well, I don't know, maybe you could show me how to tell the difference.
Go on.
I don't know.
Henry nods wearily, loosely points a finger, and scans the air thoughtfully.
I didn't move him. I know you're not supposed to move him. I can't watch anymore. Stay with me, Henry. Stay with me.
Hey, guys. Sorry to interrupt, but,
Hey, Frederick, can you give me a minute?
I've got a conference call at 11.
Just a minute, thank you.
Yeah, okay.
As the African-American patient steps into the waiting room, Sam lowers his gaze and points.
Where's this from?
Henry pulls back his sleeve, displaying two cigarette burns.
I burned myself.
You burned yourself? Why?
Practicing for hell.
He gets up.
Why do you think you're going to hell?
He drops the notepad and pen on Sam's desk, then faces him.
Because of what I did. What I'm gonna do.
What are you gonna do?
Frederick sits patiently in the waiting room as Henry closes the door. The college student aims two fingers at his own temple and cocks his thumb.
You're gonna try and kill yourself?
Henry nods.
And how seriously should I take that?
Saturday at midnight, that's what I'm gonna do.
Okay. You gotta know that everything just changed. If you talk to me about suicide, I'm required to take certain actions.
Sam moves to his desk.
Look, just wait a second. Just...
Henry glances to the door.
Deal with him, and, we'll talk about it next time.
There's a next time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Henry reaches for the door.
Yeah, we got 3 days.
Now, several people restrain a bald, round-faced black woman.
He's coming! I am not a monster, God! Get off of me!
Nobody's calling you a monster, Jay-Z.
Sam approaches.
You said you were... I don't deserve this.
Well, you just remember to take your pills. You wouldn't have to go through this.
I'm not a monster. I'm lovable.
An Asian doctor with a Van Dyke gives her a shot.
I'm lovable. No, I'm lovable.
Very lovable.
He's coming. I don't want to know he's coming. I'll be good. I don't want to know.
The attendants carry her out through a doorway.
Hey, Sammy.
Hey,
Daisy throws herself against a window.
He's just a kid. Okay, now. Let go, Daisy.
He's just a kid. He's
the attendants drag her away.
Sorry about that. You okay?
Yeah. I'm used to dealing with neurotic stockbrokers.
Neurotic stockbrokers pay better.
They step out to a courtyard.
So, what brings you to Club Meds?
I have a student threatening to kill himself.
Christ. Well, tell him to take a number. Look, you know how it works. If he threatens to hurt himself or someone else, then we can take him in, but we can't hold him here forever.
He said he's gonna do it on Saturday. If we take him in now, he'll be out by then.
Organized kid. He's got it all scheduled.
Saturday, midnight, that's what he said.
His colleague drinks from a water fountain.
We can pick him up Friday. Hold him for the weekend. As you can see, it's not a real fun process. Anything you can do to avoid it.
He takes off a latex glove.
What have you got him on?
He won't take any meds.
Now, a view through an open doorway shows a figure in a bathroom. It's Sam. He opens a stainless steel medicine cabinet. Its minimalist door displays a gray first aid cross on a frosted glass pane. Sam removes a pill bottle. A view from under a glass counter shows him spilling out its contents. He sets the bottle down on its side. The label reads Clonopin. Sam counts the beige tablets. He quickly puts them back in the bottle. She walks past the doorway behind him.
You know what I've been craving all day?
Now, Sam exits the bathroom. In the kitchen, his girlfriend sets bags on the counter.
Something to drink.
Sam leans against a wall, his hands in his pockets. Later, his girlfriend pours a drink.
What's the matter? You're looking a little tense.
It's nothing.
She sets down the liquor bottle.
So tell me about nothing.
I'm just tired. Let me make a call, and then we can take a bath together. Beth, it's Sam again. I hope you're getting some rest. Everyone's been asking about you. Look, give me a call. I want to speak to you about Henry Latham and find out how you're feeling, okay? Bye.
In a cushioned chair, Sam's girlfriend watches him.
Sound like you're talking to one of your patients. Is she sick?
She's exhausted.
Exhausted? Come on, we live in New York City. Everyone's exhausted. What is that, a code word?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it is.
Sam walks into the bathroom. The blonde woman watches with her lips pressed together, then gets up and follows, taking her drink with her. She leans on the door jamb. At the tub, Sam runs a bath.
How's the kid with the hail?
Ever heard of doctor-patient privilege?
What's the prediction tomorrow, locusts?
He's confused.
Confused? Is that like exhausted?
I don't want to get into this right now.
You told me about the lawyer who thought a cat was talking to her.
I shouldn't have.
As Sam takes off his shoes and dries his hands, the woman shuts the medicine cabinet.
He wants to kill himself. That's it, isn't it? That's why you won't talk about it.
He has a right to confidential counseling.
Come on, Sam.
Sam walks into a room where bookshelves cover one wall. His girlfriend leans against the sink.
He wants to kill himself on Saturday night. At midnight, like it's a date.
The blonde woman puts down her drink and joins him.
What's so special about Saturday?
I didn't have time to ask.
She crouches, facing him.
Look, we can talk about it. You know, it doesn't scare me.
It scares me.
Yeah, I know. But you have to trust me.
He sadly meets her gaze.
I do.
Sam kisses her on the forehead and hugs her close. In the bathroom, water flows from the tub spigot. Daytime. Exiting into an alley, Sam passes a foreman and three workers hoisting a baby grand piano that dangles several stories above them.
Slow, Jerry. Looking good, Mike.
That's
a fast. Stop that swing.
Come on, Mommy, faster.
Easy, easy.
A boy trips.
Stay clear, guys, clear.
The foreman jumps to catch the boy's balloon.
Sorry, kid. It's gone to balloon heaven.
Oh, that's okay, sir. We're going to get another one at the park. Go ahead.
The silvery balloon reflects a dark auditorium and a slide-projected painting.
Mr. Weber once said, if we cannot see the wind, we can see the wind's will.
A slide shows a nun outside at
here,
a portable altar.
Padilla Ortiz forces us to imagine the wind by showing its effect on the smoke, the candle flames, and Doña Juana's veil. Only the victims' faces are visible in Goya's masterwork.
A firing squad.
Our eyes are drawn to the brightest spot on the canvas.
Henry sits in the class.
The white shirt of a doomed man pleading for his life.
Sam appears at a window.
Behind him, the hill closing in, refusing a path to escape.
Another painting.
The dead toreador was originally part of the larger painting, Incident in a Bullfight.
Henry leaves.
After the painting was mocked by critics and viewers, Manet angrily sliced it in half, removing the fallen hero from his arena and accidentally creating one of his most enduring works.
He finds Sam in a lobby with art on display.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Oh, you know.
I don't know if you'd still be coming to class after what you told me.
Yeah, well, where else am I gonna go?
Have you got a minute?
Sure.
They stroll past mounted paintings.
Are any of these yours?
Ouch.
What?
Well, these are bad, Sam.
Oh.
Henry steps near a white canvas of dark, spindly shapes.
Do you know that Tristan Revert quote about bad art? It's, bad art is more tragically beautiful than good art because it documents human failure.
Class lets out. Some wear identical clothes. Later.
Why do you want to do it on Saturday?
It's my 21st birthday.
I think the tradition is to go out and get drunk.
Well, Tristan started a different tradition.
What did he do?
He died.
What about your parents?
In a glass atrium, they slow to a stop on a walkway. Henry faces Sam.
What about them?
Don't you think they care?
Henry tilts his head to one side, licks his lips, and leans on a railing. He stares at the psychiatrist.
No. Do they live around here?
Henry points outside.
They're over in Malice Gardens.
Malice Gardens, where is that?
It's a cemetery in Jersey.
Sam's gaze shifts uneasily.
I thought she read the file.
Sorry. I did. Didn't mention that.
It's a little out of date.
You have any other family?
No.
Girlfriend?
They leave the glass atrium and enter a white marble hallway. Henry takes a cigarette from his lips.
You talk to her?
The daylight's behind Henry.
No.
The daylight's behind Sam.
Who is she?
The daylight's behind Henry as he flicks the filter end of his cigarette. They walk on.
No, I thought to her.
Henry lights up.
I thought you were talking about this waitress, this diner I used to go to over on Canal Street.
Tell me about her.
You know, she filled up my cup of coffee. She would ask me how I was doing. But waitress things, you know, doesn't really constitute a girlfriend.
Did you ever get her name?
Yeah, it was Athena.
They stop among marble columns.
I was gonna marry her.
Henry peers at the psychiatrist.
You were gonna marry her?
Yeah, I bought her a ring and everything.
Henry flicks ash off his cigarette.
You look just like the one that you got your girl.
Henry flashes a knowing smile.
I didn't steal your ring, Henry, okay? I promise.
Henry stares at the doctor through cigarette smoke. With a casual wave, the art student resumes walking.
Yeah, I lost it. Anyway, she's gone.
She's gone?
Yeah.
Or she's somewhere else?
What do you mean? There is no somewhere else.
Henry passes through a revolving door and faces an aquarium window alone. In the deep blue tank, two walruses swim. Henry touches the glass. One walrus nuzzles its snout toward Henry's face. The glass next to Henry reflects a middle-aged couple. The man of the pair raises a camera. Henry faces the couple.
He's not going to make it.
In the reflection, the man puts his arm around the woman and they walk off. As the attentive walrus paddles away with its powerful hind flippers, the inky blue water flows past windows to an art studio. The blueness fades. The dirty studio windows reveal Sam standing behind his girlfriend. Both stare in the same direction.
It's beautiful.
No, it's like the crap tourist buy on Fifth Avenue.
The artist goes to a counter. Sam's gaze remains riveted.
You talk with your student today?
Mm-hmm.
Still wants to do it?
I don't feel right talking about it.
She walks away with a can of turpentine.
Talking about it with me, you mean?
She passes through a curtain made of strung glass balls and stars. A mirror above a sink reflects Sam behind her.
Stop taking your pills.
She glances at him in the mirror.
I've been counting. You haven't taken one in weeks.
I don't need them anymore.
Well, that's a decision we should have made together.
I can't paint on meds.
Wiping her hand, she passes through the curtain and brushes past Sam.
I can't.
At a workbench, her back to him, the artist tucks some loose hairs behind her ear.
Well, it makes me nervous. I'm not happy you did this in secret.
Well, I'm not happy you're counting my pills in secret. We have to trust each other.
Three glass balls on the curtain sway. Sam moves close to her, averting his gaze downward.
Hey, look at me.
She takes Sam's hand and places it on her scarred wrist.
I can't make them disappear. I wish I could.
He meets her gaze. They're suddenly embracing.
I made you a promise.
He kisses her neck. As Sam heads off, the artist wipes her forehead.
Henry?
He turns sharply.
Forgetting something?
The woman smiles lightly, then her gaze sobers.
What's the matter?
You just called me Henry.
Baby, I think I know your name by now.
Yeah, but you called me Henry.
Sam, I know who you are, I promise.
Sorry.
Sam returns to the workbench and gets his keys. He leaves. On a canvas, a dark, hazy shape of an archway frames pale, nebulous space. Our view rises to a chandelier. Its points of light transform into lights on the Brooklyn Bridge. We drive toward it. The curly-haired woman rides next to us.
Did you get nervous?
It's a great part, but I wish she'd resist more. You know, she just takes his abuse and walks into the river.
She used that, babe.
All without a fight.
Can we come and see you? Henry, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Mom.
We could all go together.
Daytime. At a chess table, Sam faces a stocky man with a white-handled cane.
King's rook to e3.
The stocky man smiles thoughtfully.
Mm-hmm. How's Lila?
She's good. Oh, I got something for her.
Mm-hmm.
You give me your hand?
Sam lets him hold the ring.
Ah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I hear she's a beautiful girl. How long have you been carrying that around?
A while.
What are you waiting for?
The fear to go away, I guess.
His blind friend nods. Holding the ring, Sam gazes off.
How do I know she won't try again?
You don't know, Sam. Does she make you happy?
Oh, yes.
Well, here's something that won't. Knight to c3. Check.
Oh, shit.
The two men grin.
Do you remember the dream of the burning boy, referred to by Freud?
Vaguely.
Vaguely meaning no?
Right.
Yeah. Well, he describes a man whose child is dying. The father sits by the boy's bed night after night. And after the boy is dead, they give him a wake. And they set up a circle of candles around the boy's body. And the father's exhausted. He falls asleep. And he dreams that his son is standing beside him, holding his arm, and whispering, "Father, can't you see that I'm burning?"
Henry enters.
You have a visitor?
Henry.
I can come back.
No, you're all right.
I don't mind.
Do you know Dr. Patterson?
No. Pleased to meet you.
As the professor extends his hand, Henry sees the older man's face. Henry covers his mouth.
What's the matter, Henry?
Henry fearfully backs away and bumps into a floor lamp.
What are you doing here?
We're playing chess.
You're dead.
A flash shows a body.
Sam.
I watched you die.
Sam, we'll finish this game later.
Sure.
The blind doctor leaves.
Where are you going?
Henry, take a seat.
Why'd you come back?
Do you know Leon?
What did he say? Did he say something about me?
No, he didn't say anything about you. I don't think Leon even knows you.
That's my father. He knows me.
Now listen, I've known Leon a long time. He doesn't have any
children. Don't say that. Don't fucking say that. What are you doing? You think I don't recognize my own father?
Told me your father was dead.
He is dead. He's dead, and that's him walking out the fucking door.
But the man walking out the door is alive and well.
Henry holds his head.
I saw the blood and I watched him die. I did it.
Maybe you hurt someone, but not Leon. Who did you hurt, your father?
Henry wipes away tears.
I don't remember.
Sometimes we don't want to remember, but I think you have to try.
Henry kicks over the chess table.
What the fuck do you know? What the fuck do you know? You don't know anything. Everything you know is a fucking lie. All right?
Okay. Tell me what the truth is.
Pressing a hand to his lips, Henry gazes out the window.
Your troubles will cease and fortune will smile upon you.
Henry heads off, leaving behind Sam and the undisturbed chess table. A glimpse of Lila's smiling face turns into the curly-haired woman. Now Sam tries to tail Henry down translucent steps.
Henry!
Sam grips a clear acrylic banister as he hurries down flights and flights of the translucent stairs. Henry's feet scuffle along. Sam knocks on an apartment door.
Henry? Henry, are you there?
Checking a peephole, Sam nods to a heavyset custodian who isolates one key out of 100 on a hoop. The door opens and the custodian leads the way inside.
Here we go.
Sam and a small group of professionals enter a small, dim room. The custodian pulls down a sheet draped on a balcony window, letting daylight into the sparsely furnished apartment. The Asian doctor with the wispy Van Dyke studies one wall. Thin, rough lines cover it. Our view draws closer to the area, revealing a string of handwritten words. Numbering in the thousands, a single phrase reads, "Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me," over and over. An open ammunition box lies on a tabletop. One bullet remains.
Trouble.
Sam approaches and eyes the bullet. Now he steps onto the balcony and peers at neighboring high-rises. As he goes back inside, the doctor with the Van Dyke approaches a phone's answering machine. A blinking digital display shows one message. As Sam joins him, his colleague presses the play button.
Henry, listen. Stay with me, okay? Listen to my voice, Henry. Stay with us, you are.
Is that your voice?
Sam just looks at him. Later, they walk out to the doctor's van.
I didn't leave that message.
Probably someone who sounds exactly like you.
So what do we do now?
Not much we can do at this point. We don't have the resources with manpower for a stakeout or anything like that. I'll notify the police, but they won't do anything.
Why not?
Because they've got more important things to do than look for depressed college students.
Then I'll find them.
Well, if you do, give me a call and we'll pick them up for you. But do me a favor, Sammy. The kid hears voices and carries a gun. Watch your back.
Smoking in a sunny park, Henry watches a fountain spray in slow motion. The boy with the balloon runs up to him.
Mommy, is that me gonna die?
Henry's brow furrows. The boy's mother smiles genially.
Come on, buddy, we're gonna be late. You shouldn't run away from me like that, you little monkey.
But is he gonna die?
Henry's image becomes a photograph among scattered papers and reports. Sam reads one at the dinner table.
Listen to this. Henry Lethem has a fertile, powerful imagination. If he maintains his concentration, he will create new worlds with his art.
Jim O'Shea?
Professor O'Shea, how'd you know?
Because Jim wants to fuck every cute boy in his class.
Did you ever hear of an artist named Tristan River?
Yeah, of course.
Do you like his work?
I've never seen it. Nobody has. He burned all his paintings before he killed himself.
He killed himself?
Mm-hmm. When he was 18, he told everyone he'd live 3 more years, then go to New York and kill himself. And that's exactly what he did. Left a one-line note. Un suicide élégant et l'œuvre d'art finale. An elegant suicide is the ultimate work of art.
Oh, Jesus. He's Henry's favorite artist.
Where's he is?
As Sam goes to the kitchen and pours himself a drink, Lila picks a Chinese takeout with chopsticks.
Let me talk to him.
Talk to him? First I gotta find him.
He'll find you. He knows you can help him. That's exactly why he keeps coming back to you.
Well, even if he does, I can't let you talk to him. You violate every rule in the book.
So violate them. You have something, Sam. This kid trusts you. But you've never stood where he's standing right now, and he knows that.
Yeah, but I treat people every day with conditions I've never experienced myself.
Keeping her eyes on her food, Lila nods a little and licks her lips.
You know, the day I did it, I took 2 razor blades to the bathtub. You know why? Because I knew that once I started to bleed, I'd get weak. And I didn't want to drop 1 blade and leave myself half done. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine hating your life so much that you want to bring a backup razor?
Sam stares soberly at Lila, then lowers his gaze. Lila watches him, then returns her eyes to her dinner and pokes at her food with her chopsticks. Sam stares off.
So what do I tell him?
There's too much beauty to quit. Tell him that. There's too much goddamn beauty.
They look into each other's eyes, then Sam averts his gaze. Lila slurps up some noodles, then faces her boyfriend earnestly.
Eat something.
I'm not hungry.
Eat your fortune cookie.
Sam picks it up, then hands it to Lila.
It's yours.
Rubbing her shoulder, he gets up from the table. As he stands, gazing out a window, he rubs his chin. Lila breaks open the cookie and smiles at the fortune inside.
Your troubles will cease and fortune will smile upon you. Not a moment too soon.
Sam stares at her, frowning.
What's the matter?
Our view zooms out the window and down to the street where a cab travels through an intersection. We follow behind it, then pull back to reveal we're in another cab. A shadowy figure sits in back. The figure becomes Sam, holding a phone receiver. He stands at an apartment's call box.
Beth? Sam.
I didn't touch him.
Beth?
I know you're not supposed to.
Beth?
He hangs up the receiver and presses an elevator's call button. Now, Sam walks a greenish hallway to a lone door at the very end.
Beth?
He pushes the door open and finds a dark apartment.
Beth. It's me. Are you okay?
Faint shafts of light come in through curtained windows.
I'm gonna turn on the light, okay?
A haggard, bleach blonde sits on a couch wrapped in a blanket. She closes her eyes. Sam opens the curtains.
I know Leon's been trying to get through to you. And Tony.
As he walks through the apartment, Beth stares off listlessly.
Jesus.
He opens some more curtains.
Beth, are you going to talk to me?
What do you want to talk about?
How are you feeling?
What do you really want to talk about?
I'm worried about you. And I want to know more about Henry Latham.
I didn't touch him. I know you're not supposed to move them.
What does that mean?
Beth leans forward and looks at Sam with a wide, childlike gaze.
I want to kiss you. Do you want to play a kissing game?
No, Beth.
She slides off the couch.
You're loyal. You're a good dog. Good, loyal dog, Sam. What's her name? Lila? You should have let her bleed in the bathtub. She had the right idea.
What are you talking about?
It's highly inappropriate.
Sam finds empty pill bottles.
You're not supposed to fuck your patients, even the pretty ones. You know the rules.
You can't drink while you're taking these.
Apparently I can.
No, you can't. Come on, Beth. Won't you come take a shower?
He lifts her up.
Bathe the corpse? Won't really be corpses, though, will we? It'll be more like a memory of nothing.
He seats her on the toilet.
Get to sleep, please.
Oh, too much crap in your system. Are you okay to shower?
He's watching us.
No, we're alone.
He's watching.
Are you still talking to him? Do you know where he is?
Ask the mother.
The mother's dead.
Is she? Ask anyway.
In the back of the cab,
Hello?
Sam uses his cell.
Yeah. This is Sam Foster, Dr. Sam Foster. I'm a psychiatrist. Yeah. I'm calling about a student named Henry Latham.
Outside the cab, day turns to night.
He is? This is very strange, Mrs. Latham. He told me you had passed. Hello? Hello? Oh, damn it.
The cab pulls to a stop at a curb.
This is it. I won't be long.
He gets out of a cab and is walking across a house's front porch. Sam reaches for a doorbell. He takes a step back and stares at the closed door. He reaches for the bell again. A woman wearing a headscarf sits in a chair beside the door.
I've been waiting for you.
Mrs. Latham? I'm Dr. Sam Foster. I'm sorry to bother you at this hour.
I thought you'd never come.
I would have come earlier. I didn't know you were here.
It's easy to forget about me. All alone up here.
Your son's not well. That's why I'm here. I'm trying to find him. I'm sorry to say he's threatened to commit suicide.
As they enter, she flashes a polite smile.
You came to see Olive, didn't you? Not me.
Olive?
A mastiff lies in an unfurnished room.
Here she is. She's been lonely. Me and Olive keep each other company. We've been alone in this house for 1,000 years.
Hey, Olive.
The dog lifts her head off the bare wood floor.
How are you doing, girl?
She doesn't remember you. Are you hungry?
No. Do you know how to contact your son? Are there any relatives or friends he might have gone to see?
Let me fix you something to eat. You stay with Olive. There's some leftovers in the fridge.
Olive gets on all fours and watches Sam.
Most days I don't say a single word. Sometimes I'm silent so long I forget how to speak.
In the kitchen, Mrs. Lethem opens the refrigerator. It's completely empty. Sam enters.
Mrs. Lethem, we have an emergency here.
She's in another room.
Do you hate me?
As Sam finds her, her image skips.
You must hate me. Is that why you did it?
No, I don't hate you. I'm here because your son needs help.
I knew you'd come eventually. It's been quiet without you. Lonely.
Mrs. Lethem? Who do you think I am?
Don't play games. Not anymore.
Who am I?
You think I don't know you, Henry? You think I don't recognize my only son?
Oh, Lord, I've missed you.
She hugs him.
I've missed you so much. I know you never meant to hurt us.
Henry, dear. Mom?
Yes, baby? I'm so
proud of you. How did I hurt you?
It doesn't matter anymore. I could never stay angry with you.
What do I do on Saturdays?
When you were a boy, you used to go to the zoo. Remember? You loved to watch the walrus swim.
But I'm older now. It's my 21st birthday tomorrow. What'll I do for my birthday?
Who knows? You don't tell me anything these days.
Blood seeps through her scarf.
I guess you tell Athena your secrets now.
Athena? Do you remember where Athena lives?
Blood drips down the side of her face and onto the floor.
Look at the mess I'm making. I just have to clean it up.
Let me see your head.
You don't want to see.
Mrs. Lethem.
You didn't mean to hurt anyone. You know you didn't.
Let me look at your head, Mrs. Lethem. That's a serious wound.
Don't look at me, darling. Don't look.
As Sam reaches for Mrs. Lethem, Olive bites his arm.
Olive, off. Olive, off.
Mrs. Lethem stands.
Let me fix you something to eat.
Sam frees his arm. Now he gets a shot.
You're a bleeder, huh? You gotta maintain pressure on that.
The olive-skinned woman wears scrubs.
Dr. Foster, can I have a word with you?
A balding man enters the exam room.
You got bit up pretty good.
You got your rabies shot already?
Yeah.
As Sam eyes a bandage on his arm, the man nods.
Look, I'm Sheriff Kenley. I know you already spoke to Deputy Carlisle, but I just wanted to confirm a few things. Now, you said the assault took place at 9625 Rigomer Street.
That's right.
Yeah, home belonging to the Lethem family.
Right. Her dog attacked me, and she needs some help. She has a severe head wound. She should be in a hospital.
And I went to high school with Maureen Lethem.
Maybe you know her son, Henry. He's a patient of mine.
Yeah, I remember Henry. The pale, skinny kid, always drawing pictures.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, kind of gave me the creeps. What's strange, Doctor, what I'm trying to figure out is who you were speaking with over there at 9625 Rickover Street.
I'm sorry, I thought we already established Maureen Lethem.
She told you her name was Maureen Lethem.
Yeah, we were talking about her son, and she wasn't entirely coherent. She needs medical assistance.
Why did you want to talk to this woman at 1 a.m?
Look, I'm treating her son. It's an emergency situation. Sheriff, she needs help. She's lost a lot of blood.
I told you I went to school with Maureen Lethem. I also went to her funeral. She's been dead for months. Car wreck, her and her husband. As far as I know, that house is empty still. The family's trying to sell it.
I spoke to Maureen Lethem an hour ago.
It's probably just someone's confused.
So how long are they keeping you here?
I don't know. I gotta head back into the city. Look, 9625 Rickover Street. I was there. Henry's mother was there.
All right, Dr. Foster. We'll be in touch. I've got your number.
The sheriff leaves, closing the door behind him. Sam's eyes shift thoughtfully.
Sheriff?
He opens the door and looks down on a dark rotunda.
Sheriff?
Uh-huh?
Mrs. Lethem. Did she have brown eyes?
Oh, no, sir. Bluest eyes in town.
As Sam runs his hands along a balcony railing, our view lifts to the rounded ceiling where brilliant light emanates from a window in the center. The round window turns into a neon sign reading 25 cents. Below, another lit sign on an awning reads, Peoplerama. Henry walks down a sidewalk smoking a cigarette. He enters the establishment through a glass door. Inside, women wearing skimpy gold and red bikinis dance seductively using long strips of fabric hung from the ceiling. A man with a thin mustache stirs his drink. One of the dancers hangs sideways from her sheet, holding it with her feet in one hand. Behind the dancers, images of a bridge tower archway flash on a small movie screen. As Henry leans on the stage looking down, images of a newborn baby appear amid the shots of the bridge. In the bar, the man with blonde hair and thick-rimmed glasses lets smoke escape from his lips. Behind Henry, a dancer's two fabric strips billow like gossamer wings. Henry trembles, holding his cigarette. Images of an infant flash on the screen. Then an image appears of Henry kissing the curly-haired woman's cheek. Henry notices and sits up straight. More images of the couple appear between flashes of a little boy and the bridge. In the bar, the man with the thin mustache cocks his head as he stirs his drink. Henry stares, his lips tremble and tears well in his eyes. More images flash, a crying baby, an ultrasound, a chair in an empty room, the bridge, a preteen boy. In the bar, a dancer holds the fabric strips between her knees and arches back. Sobbing, Henry puts a hand to his mouth. On the screen, the curly-haired woman's snapshot appears at him. The blonde customer works his jaw. A succession of blurred images cycles quickly. The curly-haired woman sits in the passenger seat of a car, then blood seeps from a head wound. As tears roll down Henry's cheeks, photographs of his family appear. He poses with Mrs. Lethem, all of in a man bearing Leon's likeness. Images of his wounded and bleeding parents flash by. A gray-haired woman in the bar laughs. The mustache man sips his drink. Henry's handwritten forgive me's appear, first over each other, then superimposed over the bridge and one of the exotic dancers. Daytime. In an alley, the foreman and three workers voice the baby grand piano. Sam walks toward them.
Up slow, Jerry.
Got it.
Not so fast.
Not this way.
Easy. Got it.
Stay clear, guys.
The boy trips and loses his balloon.
Wait.
The foreman tries to grab it.
Sorry, kid. It's gone to balloon heaven.
Oh, that's okay, sir. We're going to get another one at the park. Go ahead. I
promise, Mommy?
Yes.
Coming at you, guys. Coming your way.
Sam approaches the foreman.
There
you are. You were here on Thursday, right? You were moving the piano on Thursday, too, right?
Can I help you with something, pal?
Yeah, the kid in the balloon. The same thing happened on Thursday, right?
We're a little busy here. Why don't you go bother someone else, huh? Go away, guys.
Now, Sam fumbles with the key in a door's lock. In the apartment, Lila rushes to the door and opens it for Sam.
Christ, what are you doing?
He hugs her, then moves into the bedroom.
What happened to you? I've been calling people all over the city looking for you. I was about to call the police.
At the door, they hug.
What happened to you? I've been calling people all over the city.
Lila opens the door.
Christ, what are you doing?
He hugs her.
I've been calling people all over the city looking for you. I was about to call the police. What's going on, Sam?
I don't know.
No, you've got to talk to me. I've been up all night. What happened to your arm?
Dog bite.
Dog bite?
I had the shots and the painkillers.
What dog? Where?
Look, I'm seeing things that don't make any sense, and I'm meeting people that are supposed to be dead, and Beth's had a nervous breakdown. The kid I'm treating knows what's going to happen before it happens, and his mother thinks that I'm her son.
Okay, just
and I saw the same boy lose the same balloon in the same place twice.
Hey,
Baby, you're not making any sense.
No, nothing makes any sense.
You're scaring me.
Nothing makes any sense.
Okay. You just need to relax. Slow down.
Okay.
You need to sleep.
Yeah. No, I can't. I gotta find him. I'm running out of time.
Just for a while.
You think?
Lie down.
All right.
Sam kisses her palm, then rests his head on a pillow.
Maybe just for a little bit.
As Lila strokes his hair, the image jumps.
Maybe just a little bit.
She kisses his forehead. Alone, Sam closes his eyes and snuggles the pillow. Now his eyes open slightly. The bookshelves in front of him blur, then come into focus. As they blur again, they become a bridge at night. Sam shines a light at us, obscuring most of his face. A curly-haired woman looks at us from a car's passenger seat. Now, Sam's light disappears and he gets up from bed. His face stays centered in our view. He notices a sticky note. Call me as soon as you wake up. I love you, Lila. Later, Sam chugs down a drink. Putting on his coat, he heads for the door. Sam enters the hallway and locks the door. Behind him, Henry sits on the stairs.
Jesus Christ.
Spotting him, Sam walks toward his patient.
I've been looking all over for you.
Henry makes eye contact with Sam.
I want you to come uptown with me. I want you to meet a friend of mine.
Henry shakes his head.
I don't want to go uptown.
As Henry gives his psychiatrist a wounded look, Sam leans forward.
I met your mother last night.
Sam descends stairs.
What do you mean you met my mother?
Henry rushes after him.
He told me she was dead.
She's okay?
Yeah, everyone seems to think your mother's dead, but I'm standing in a kitchen talking to her.
She's gonna be okay?
I don't know. She's sick or she got hurt somehow. I don't know.
Is she mad?
The dog seemed pretty fucking mad.
What dog?
Olive.
Olive? Yeah, we put Olive to sleep when I was 12. She had a tumor in her liver.
Olive is not dead. She is very much not dead.
Yeah, she is. But she was a good girl.
Now quit playing with me. I want to know what's going on. How do you know the future?
Sam grabs Henry by the collar.
I need some fucking answers! What happened to your parents?
The image flips between them pinning each other against a wall.
Look, there are things that you have to tell me. I mean, if you were just gonna kill yourself, you'd have done it by now. So why haven't you? Why'd you keep coming to me?
Sam backs away and takes a heavy breath. Henry looks him in the eye.
Because you're the only one that can help me. That's why.
Henry continues downstairs and passes a weak-chinned man entering his apartment. We follow the stranger inside. As he closes his door, Sam follows Henry outdoors.
Henry, I've seen people go through what you're going through. I've helped them come out the other side. If you work with me, I can help you.
The weak-chinned man watches them through his window, then closes his blinds.
The way you helped your girl?
Sam knits his brow.
It's Lila, right?
Henry takes out a pack of cigarettes.
I've seen the scars on her wrists.
He leans against a brick wall and slides down to the ground.
Did you save her?
As Henry sticks a cigarette in his lips, Sam's gaze drops. He steps forward.
She saved herself.
The college student takes a drag and stretches out one of his legs.
Yeah, but you helped, right?
The psychiatrist shakes his head.
No, sometimes suicide is an attempt for attention. With Lila, it wasn't. She put 3 4-inch vertical slits in each wrist. She split both sets of ulnar and radial arteries. By the time I got to her, she lost 5 pints of blood.
Sam gazes upward.
I just pulled her out of the bathtub, put tourniquets in both arms, and called an ambulance.
Aren't you afraid she's gonna do it again?
No.
Why?
Because she loves me.
Henry nods, then stares off distantly.
If she were here, I know she'd say to open your eyes a little wider. I know she'd tell you that there's too much beauty to quit.
Henry's eyes stay focused ahead. As Sam gazes at him thoughtfully, Henry gives him a faint smile and puffs his cigarette.
She's probably right.
He gets to his feet.
Anyway, it's too late.
He walks away.
Henry? I can't let you leave this time. You gotta stay with me. I gotta take you uptown to meet this defucker. No, you gotta come with me to the hospital.
Get out of the way. All right? Move.
I can't let you.
Let me show you something.
Henry backs Sam against the wall and holds a gun to his chest.
Killed my parents.
Sam fearfully eyes his troubled patient. Grief spreads over Henry's face and he nods.
I killed my mother and my father.
He holds the pistol steady and stares into Sam's eyes.
I'm gonna go to hell.
The psychiatrist shakes his head.
Or maybe I'm already there, I don't know.
Trembling, Sam eyes the gun. Henry drops his gaze.
I'm sorry, Sam.
As he lowers the weapon to his side, his other arm lingers on the psychiatrist's shoulder. He pats Sam on the arm.
Don't follow me.
Henry leaves Sam. The psychiatrist lifts his head, then strides down a few steps. He stops in the alley and fixes his eyes forward. At the far end, he spots a busy street. Sam jogs through an open gate and peers in both directions. Before him, a dark-haired woman exits a cab and goes to the trunk. As she removes something, Sam gets into the taxi and pulls the door shut.
Canal Street, a diner.
Canal Street, a diner, yeah. Which diner? There's maybe 20.
I don't know. Pick one. Keep the meter running.
Across the street, an elderly man in shades faces us with a drooping frown. Now, as litter blows along a sidewalk, the cab pulls over. Sam climbs out, stepping over a deep puddle. He enters a diner and approaches a woman at a counter.
Excuse me. Do you have an Athena working here?
Yeah. Athena! Yeah, what?
Athena?
A butcher responds.
What? What do you want?
Sam gets in the cab.
All right, next one.
As the mustached cabbie waits, multiple images of Sam exiting and entering the taxi dissolve into one another.
All right. I think there's one more.
Now, rain pours down on the cab. Running the windshield wipers, the driver looks out the window. Sam returns.
We're running out of options here. I really don't know what you want.
All right. Just try one more, please.
Now, lightning flashes over an establishment with a red awning. A lit sign vertically spells out diner. The cab pulls up and Sam enters. Inside, the drenched psychiatrist passes numerous patrons. As an older, short-haired woman clears coins off a table, Sam approaches her.
Excuse me. Do you have a waitress here named Athena?
Athena?
Yeah.
Nah, never heard of her.
She walks off with plates and he follows.
Can I get a coffee, please?
Sam settles into a booth. As a black waitress cleans silverware behind him, he sits thoughtfully, his brow furrowed. Through a dark glass divider, he sees a balding man in thick glasses slurping up a noodle. Sam watches him quizzically.
Planning on proposing to Athena?
Sam eyes the black waitress.
No. Do you know her? Are we talking about the same girl?
You a cop?
No, I'm more of a matchmaker.
Didn't work here anymore. But she's in my acting class.
She is? Could you tell me where she lives?
What are you, a stalker?
No.
Sam pulls out his wallet.
I'm a psychiatrist. You see?
He shows her his ID.
You're a psychiatrist, huh? So you could write a Xanax prescription.
She smiles at Sam.
I could write a Xanax prescription for one of my patients who needed it, yeah.
Okay.
She walks away.
Good luck finding Athena.
Sam's eyes lower, now in a stone-walled theater.
Prison, my lord?
Denmark's a prison.
Well, then is the world one.
A goodly one, in which there are many confines, wards, and dungeons. Denmark being one of the worst.
We think not so, my lord.
Why then, 'tis none to you, for there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so.
Sam enters and sits on a clear acrylic chair.
Prison, my lord?
Denmark's a prison. We already had...
Wait a minute.
A muscular man flips through a script.
Why then, your ambition...
Why then, your ambition makes it one. 'Tis too narrow for your mind.
I could be bounded in a nutshell and count myself a king of infinite space... Were it not that I have bad dreams.
The actress is the curly-haired woman.
That's my favorite line in the whole play.
It's a good line. However, my favorite line of the play is, Oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I. I have no idea what any of it means, but I love the word slave. Hello. I gotta go. I've got a solo in choir tomorrow morning.
Thanks for reading with me. You're a good Rosencrantz.
I know. Bye.
Exiting, the muscular man passes Sam.
Lynn.
Sam watches him go, then eyes the actress. She glances up.
I always pictured Hamlet as a man.
That's a bit narrow-minded of you, isn't it? This is the lesbian Hamlet. All the parts are played by women.
Oh.
I'm joking. I'm Ophelia. I just get so sick of playing her. Things get tough. She jumps in the drink. Hamlet hogs all the good lines.
Well, he's notorious for that.
We've met before, haven't we?
No, I don't think so. I'm Sam Foster.
Sina.
Hi.
Hi. Are you joining the class?
No, I've been looking for you, as a matter of fact.
That's flattering. Why?
I'm a psychiatrist, and I have a patient who likes you very much.
Well, that's an unusual way of trying to get a date.
Athena brushes past him.
What's his name?
Henry Lethem.
Sounds familiar.
You served him coffee in a diner a couple of times. You were nice to him, but the way he tells it, you're the one good thing that ever happened to him.
Henry, is he very pale, very thin? His arms are scarred?
Yeah, that's him.
He always ate pecan pie with his coffee. I remember that, but I never spoke to him outside the diner. Except...
Yeah? What?
I feel really stupid saying this stuff to a psychiatrist. You think I'm insane.
No.
I had the strangest feeling about him. I mean, he's this ragged-looking guy. Probably hasn't bathed in months, but something about him, I'd seen him before. Somewhere. I'd known him.
Yeah.
What's wrong with him?
He's gonna kill himself.
Why?
He thinks he's done something terrible. That's my guess, anyway.
I wish there was something I could do to help. Actually, this probably won't help, but I did run into him one time at A. Smith's.
A. Smith's?
The art bookstore. He was sitting in the back reading. I don't know. Maybe he hangs out there.
Where is it?
Nearby. Come on, I'll show you.
They leave. Sam closes the door to the theater and follows Athena down a spiral staircase. Lights dimly illuminate sand-colored bricks along the cramped interior. In lieu of a central pole, the spiral steps coil around an empty shaft. A twisting strip of continuous brickwork forms the railing. Sam keeps close to Athena and looks around. He looks down and finds himself alone.
Athena? Athena?
The psychiatrist wrinkles his brow and quickens his pace.
Athena?
He winds around the stairs.
Athena? Athena?
From below, we look up an infinite Athena? Spiral. As Sam hurries, he slips and falls. In a flash, a ring drops. Henry's silhouette appears before faded images of Athena. The jellyfish pulses. We see a snapshot of Henry with his parents. Henry's silhouette distorts and flips upside down. Sam's eyes open. In a flash, the ring drops. Lying on the stairs, Sam glances up, then grimaces. As he gets to his feet, he tilts his head back. The psychiatrist stops and narrows his eyes. With a quizzical look, he searches his pockets. Sam holds on to the railing and heads up the spiral stairs. He runs through a curtain and enters the stone theater.
Athena?
With a...
Why then, 'tis none to you, for there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. To me, it is a prison.
Prison, my lord?
Denmark's a prison. We already had this conversation. Oh.
Sam flees down the spiral staircase. From below, we see his shaky descent. Our view flips and spins into the vortex. At the bottom, lightning flashes over the engagement ring. In an apartment, Leon reads Braille. As the lights go out, he opens a record sleeve. Lightning flashes. Henry appears leaning in a doorway. As the older man stands in front of a player, the apartment goes dark. A flash of light reveals Henry's unchanging face, now in pitch blackness.
Are you lonely here?
Who's that? Who's there?
Leon grabs a poker and picks up the phone.
Why isn't Mom with you?
I'll call the police.
Put the phone down, Dad.
Leon remains on guard.
It's Henry.
Henry? What are you doing here?
Just wanted to see you one more time.
With his wet hair matted to his forehead, Henry sits down on a couch. Leon hangs up the phone, then feels around a fireplace and returns the poker to a stand. He slides his hand along the mantle and walks forward.
Henry, I need you to leave now.
Leon reaches out and touches Henry.
You can't sneak into people's homes.
His hands rest on Henry's shoulders.
I don't want to go, Dad.
You've got the wrong man. I've told you before.
I don't want to die.
You don't have to die.
Will you do something for me, Dad?
What are you doing?
Henry presses his hands over Leon's eyes.
I want you to look at me, okay? It's okay.
Henry gently strokes Leon's face. The older man twitches his brows and blinks. His irises center themselves. Leon closes his eyes briefly, then focuses on Henry. The young man smiles with his hands still cradling Leon's head. Leon touches Henry's cheeks and hair. His healed eyes scan the young man from top to bottom. He removes Henry's hands from his head and joins them together in front of his face. As Leon touches and studies each of his fingers, Henry gazes at him warmly. A flash outside startles Leon.
This is lightning. Right at the time we found all those dead sparrows in the yard. Remember that? They're in that tree that got hit by lightning.
Leon wrinkles his brow.
Who are you?
I'm your son.
No.
Henry wraps his arms around Leon and hugs him tightly. As the old man views his surroundings, Henry kisses his head.
Tell Mom I love her.
Leon watches Henry leave. His fascinated gaze scans the apartment. As the rain pours, Leon stands at a window. A flash of lightning illuminates his astonished face. Now skyscrapers flank a city artery leading to the Brooklyn Bridge. Inside one car, we drive toward the bridge. Reflected in the rearview mirror, Leon and Mrs. Lethem smile in back.
You should show your mother your paintings.
Yeah, well, you know, I've seen them look beautiful tonight.
They remind me of us when we met all those years ago.
How have you guys stayed so in love after all these years?
Oh, it's simple.
The car swerves, hits the side of the bridge, and does a 180. Our view tumbles. As the approaching cars brake hard, our view rotates uncontrollably. The violent image plays in a store window. Outside, pedestrians head down a sidewalk. Among them, Sam holds a rigid face. While others carry umbrellas, he walks forward uncovered and turns a corner. Now, rain soaks the psychiatrist's downturned head. Sam looks over his shoulder. He looks from side to side. Now, Sam stands outside a bookstore. Hanging over the center of the white shelves, a blue-toned painting depicts the stone archway. Sam tries the glass door, but it's locked. As he knocks, a trendy young man shakes his head.
We're closed.
Ben, let him in, see what he wants.
As the psychiatrist shoots a look over his shoulder, the trendy clerk unlocks the door and lets him in.
Help you find something?
Henry Lethem.
A book by Henry Lethem or on Henry Lethem?
No, I thought he might be here. I was told he comes here sometimes.
Nobody's here, man. The store is closed.
How about you don't fuck with me right now?
Lightning flashes. The clerk looks to his boss.
Hey, Smitty, you know a guy named Henry Lethem?
Sure. Something happened to him?
Yeah, I need to find him.
I keep telling the kid to get some sun. It's not healthy spending all your time in bookstores.
They eye the painting.
Yeah, that's his. Didn't have any money to pay for the books he wanted, so he gave me this. I think I got a pretty good deal. Kid's got talent.
It's the white-haired man.
Traded the painting for some books? Which books?
Tristan Ravoux. What else? Kid's obsessed with Ravoux.
Got any more of his books?
No, he bought me out. It's all secondhand, out of print stuff.
Right. Thanks.
So what do you think? Is he gonna make it?
Sam looks at the white-haired man.
What?
You think he's got what it takes?
Smitty nods to the painting.
Yeah.
Sam nods.
Yeah.
The psychiatrist faces the door. It slides open and Henry exits a city bus. As the rain falls over his solemn face, he walks away from a bridge's girdered trusses. Henry holds his hands in his pockets and walks up a couple of steps. A few yards off, a set of tall windows reveals couples in a dance studio. Henry appears at the glass. Beyond the streaming water, the young man watches the dancers twirl their partners. Inside, a sharp-nosed man with dark hair gracefully moves along the floor with Athena. Outside, a smile curls under Henry's drooping eyes. Side by side, a pair in dark clothing extend their arms and raise one foot in the air. Behind them, Athena and her partner gaze into each other's eyes. The sharp-nosed man spins her under his arm. While another couple holds hands and snakes movements in unison, Henry lingers at the window. A woman with bushy hair slides her hand sensually up her female partner, and they embrace. As a man and woman glide away from the window, Henry holds his warm gaze steady. In the center of the studio, the sharp-nosed man lifts Athena into the air. As she glances down, Henry fixes on her. Athena sways with her partner. Henry lowers his eyes. In the studio, the sharp-nosed man brings Athena back to the floor. Our view encircles their deeply locked gazes. With a grin, the sharp-nosed man separates from Athena and heads across the room. As he turns his head, Athena lingers in the center. The other couples move away from the somber, solitary woman. She stares at the rain-streaked windows. Henry is gone. Now, in her studio, Lila lifts a large canvas painting. Behind it, we glimpse the name, Henry Lethem, written on the back of another canvas. Lila hangs the work of art on a wall. It depicts a light rectangle recessed in a dark slab.
Hello?
It's me.
Jesus, Sam, where are you? Are you okay?
I'm fine. Listen, Tristan Ravoux killed himself on his 21st birthday, right?
That kid's 21st birthday today.
Yeah. How'd he kill himself?
He shot himself on the Brooklyn Bridge. He said it was the best artwork of the 19th century. Hello?
Lila, listen. I need you to know something. I trust you. I trust you more than anyone in the world.
What's going on, Sam?
Listen, if anything happens tonight, you know I love you. It's the one thing I know is real.
I'm worried about you.
Don't be. I love you, Lila.
Sam?
At a payphone, Sam finds Leon looking him in the eyes.
Leon?
I always thought you had brown eyes.
Lila hangs up. She notices Henry's signature on the back of a canvas. Back with Sam.
You can see?
I can see everything. For the first time, I can see everything.
But how?
Henry. It's all because of Henry.
In her studio, Lila tilts one of several canvases leaning on each other away from the wall and takes in their hazy forms of blues and grays. She slides one out, revealing a third signed Henry Lethem on the back. Outside, rainwater pours down the studio windows. As Lila checks another leaning stack, she covers her mouth and backs away from it. A large canvas depicts Henry's handwriting, hazy and enlarged, with the repeated phrase, "Forgive me." Lila runs off. Meanwhile, Leon smiles warmly at Sam.
What's happening to us?
The Buddhists had it right all along. The world is an illusion.
What time is it?
It's 11:33.
As Leon glances jovially at his watch, Sam hurries off.
Saturday night in the rain. You never find a cat!
Now lightning strobes as Lila races down cornering stairwells. Our view spirals past flight after flight. Meanwhile, rainwater glistens on Leon's sweater as he crosses past busy travelers toward a rainy platform. Now, Lila reaches the bottom of the brightly lit stairs and finds a cage-wired door locked. She repeatedly tries the handle and shakes it. Through the cage wire, we see her tense gaze relax. Her limpid blue eyes stare at us. Now, Leon follows the rainy platform away from us. Lampposts on his left go dark as he passes each one. The nighttime horizon suddenly brightens, and the entire location shudders. The intensifying glow becomes three lanes of oncoming headlights. We're tumbling, glimpsing a woman's face, seeing glass shatter.
Listen to my voice. Stay with me.
A car's interior shakes violently. A passenger's hand falls limp. A thrown body smashes through a window. Going blurry crimson red, it lands in a heap and fades. A diamond solitaire gleams in its place, set in a pristine jewel box. Henry stares into a jewelry store window. On the busy sidewalk behind him, the mother and son pass by.
Mommy, is that ring gonna die?
Well, I hope not, baby. I don't think so.
As they walk away with their silvery balloon, Henry's unkempt hair starts to drip. He wipes at it and frowns, then notices blood pooling at his feet. As he lifts his gaze, it meets the eyes of a concerned policeman standing before him. Looking around, Henry finds that all the nearby people on the sidewalk are standing still, looking at him. Some are in mid-stride. Cars and buses sit halted in the street. The dark trickle of blood off Henry's hair quickens. Vapor billows from an orange-striped chimney on a worksite, and mist trails from the exhaust pipes of the motionless cars. Henry holds his bleeding head. Now, Sam's feet stand in the pooled blood. He's riding on a subway facing a window. In the dark tunnel, the train speeds alongside empty tracks. Sam watches shadows flit by between his window and the faster train creeping past his. Flickering glimpses of a neighboring train window reveal Henry staring back, his hand to the glass. Henry disappears as the train passes. Now, bright light from a station yields a clear view of subway tracks and columns receding rapidly behind us. Later, Sam sprints through an exit turnstile, past an art poster of a human eye. He races upstairs, reaching a spacious street-level station with only a few commuters here and there. Sam hurries toward the exit. Now, as Sam runs, jerky images of the Brooklyn Bridge skip one to the next. We hone in on one stone tower where Henry waits by a railing. Sam's chin juts centered in our view as he runs. He crosses a footbridge sheathed in glass, then another trussed in gray metal. Outside, Henry files past taut suspension cables, and Sam emerges from a stairwell at a full run. Patterns of light shift around both of them like draped cobwebs. Sam's feet carry him closer to the Brooklyn Bridge's first tower. At the stone archway, the stringy patterns of light ripple plentifully over the suspension cables. Sam reaches the tower. As he slows, the light patterns stir and shimmer.
Henry.
Henry faces him. Smiling faintly, he shows the gun. As Sam backs off, Henry sits. The faint light patterns sweep in front of and behind their faces.
One of the first times I met you, you said that you didn't know what was real anymore. And I said that I did, but I was wrong. I don't know what's real anymore.
You are. You're real. You're trying to save me, you're just too late. So I gotta wake up.
You are awake.
Henry paces away, his eyes shut. He winces briefly to himself, then turns around.
Henry, look around you.
Henry stares off, rubbing his lips.
This is a dream. The whole world is inside it.
Henry cradles his chin in his palm. As Sam swallows hard, the shimmering light patterns dance up the stone tower and accumulate in ropey swirls on the suspension cables.
This hurts too much. I wish you didn't have to see this.
Henry inserts the gun into his mouth. As Sam turns away, Henry squeezes his tearful eyes shut and trembles. The light patterns converge on him, forming a dazzling focal point as bright as a star. The point becomes the end of a handheld penlight aimed down on us. As Henry shivers, lying on the pavement, Sam checks for a pulse and feels for breath. Beth paces nearby.
It happened right in front of me. It was right in front of me. I was the first one here. I didn't move him. I know you're not supposed to
move. You have a
phone? I already called.
As the bleached blonde watches the doctor, Lila comes running.
Here, let me help. I'm a nurse.
Wait, he's losing a lot of blood. I'm gonna straighten up his face, all right?
Henry's open eyes see them awash in light.
Okay, maintain pressure on that. Keep an eye on his pulse.
The nurse looks in our direction into Henry's eyes.
Can you hear me?
The doctor checks Athena, who lies motionless on the SUV's hood, her face covered in blood. Mrs. Lethem leans out a broken window.
You're gonna be all right.
Henry stares sadly past the nurse. At the SUV's shattered hatchback, the doctor checks Mr. Lethem for a pulse.
You're gonna be fine.
The nurse eyes the wreck. A breeze ruffles Athena's hair.
It's okay.
A flash shows Lila racing downstairs. The nurse lets out a small gasp as Henry's eyes fix on her. The doctor returns.
How are the others?
They're gone.
Henry holds his eyes shut. On the deserted bridge, the SUV burns. Henry sits beside it, stands beside it, slowly walks away from the fire. Now, bystanders gather at the scene. The nurse and doctor stay with Henry.
You said you were a nurse?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Lila.
Listen, listen. Lila here is a nurse. I want you to listen to her voice, all right?
Okay.
Okay? Okay. I'm going to go in your pockets and see if I can find something with your name on.
Okay.
All right?
What's your name? Can you tell me your name?
The doctor opens Henry's wallet. A ring drops out.
What's that? No, no, that's not Hale. That's
Henry?
Just the light.
Henry, is that your name? Henry, listen. My name is Sam. I'm a doctor.
The bystanders are familiar.
I'm going to look after you, okay? I need you to try and stay awake. I want you to listen to Lila's voice and just stay awake. Stay with us here, okay?
How old are you, Henry? What's that?
I'm so freaking... What did he say?
Forgive me.
Hey, Henry, listen. I was driving right behind you. You didn't do anything wrong, all right? Your front tire blew, okay? It wasn't your fault.
It's not anybody's fault. You don't have to be sorry.
We see the faces of the bookstore owner, the actor, the black waitress, the Asian psychiatrist.
Oh,
no. He's just a kid.
It'll be all right.
We glimpse a baby in a car.
Stay with us, Henry.
Stay with us.
Stay with me, okay? Listen to my voice, Henry.
Henry's right hand strokes the pavement.
Looking for something, this ring.
Sam gives him the ring. Now the mother and son arrive.
There you go. You stay here with us, Henry, okay?
Yes.
Stay awake now.
Honey,
come on, Henry.
You gotta stay
Henry?
With me by the car. We can't run away from each other. Remember I said this?
Mommy, is that man going to die?
No, Angel, he's going to be fine. The ambulance is going to come and they're going to help him out. You want to go look and see if they're coming?
Fucking ambulance.
Okay. Listen to
kid,
us.
Henry, stay conscious.
Look at me, Henry. Henry, look at me.
Stay with us.
Pulse is fading.
Try and stay conscious. Try and stay awake. Listen to the voice. Come on, Henry. Henry?
Henry?
Stay with me, Henry.
Open your eyes.
Henry.
Here, look at me. Stay with me.
Stay with us here,
Henry. Stay there. Look at me. What? What?
That's my girl. That's my girl.
Henry envisions Athena in Lila's place.
Will you marry me?
Let's go back to the hall.
Stifling tears, Lila nods and smiles.
Yes.
Will you marry me?
Yes, Henry.
Athena's angelic face looks warmly upon him. Then Lila's face returns. Among the bystanders, the olive-skinned woman looks on sadly. Lila shakes her head at Sam.
Henry.
He's not going to make it.
One bystander starts to walk away. Others follow.
Henry, try and stay with us.
Henry, open
Can
your
you hear
eyes.
Me?
Henry.
Can't breathe? Come on. Let's listen to this.
As Lila and Sam stay close, most of the bystanders leave.
Henry?
Stay.
I'm not going to leave you. It's okay. Don't be afraid.
At his side, Henry manages to put on the diamond ring.
Henry? Hey, Henry?
Henry's eyes stare blankly toward the sky. Lila takes a deep breath. The ring remains on his motionless hand. In traffic, policemen on foot wave an ambulance forward. Medics belt Henry onto a gurney. As his dilated eyes stare off, our view rises past upside-down ambulances to the stone ceiling of the bridge tower archway, now with the bleached blonde woman.
May I have your name, ma'am?
Elizabeth Levy.
Once we get all your information, detectives are going to want to speak with you.
Okay. Right.
Take it from me.
Lila and Sam stare vacantly at Henry. Sam turns and walks away. Lila shoots a parting glance toward Henry, then starts off.
Hey, thank you for helping.
I wish we could have done more.
Sam steps closer to Lila.
No one ever asked me to marry them before.
Images flash by. Sam studying a diamond ring, one of Lila's bright blue eyes, Lila tackling Sam in a hug.
I want to get a cup of coffee somewhere. I'm never going to sleep tonight.
Yeah, I'd like that.
In the strobing ambulance lights, Sam starts toward his car. Lila heads around the other side, rubbing her arms in the night air. As emergency crews tend to the crash scene, cars stream steadily by on the other side of the bridge. The suspension cables smudge into the pale sky, and the bridge tower fades into hazy light blue. Now, credits appear as grainy images like old photos cycle and rotate, showing elements of the Brooklyn Bridge and leafless tree branches. Directed by Mark Forster. Now we watch blurry footage of swimming walruses, written by David Benioff. Produced by Arnon Milchin, Tom Lassily, Eric Kopolov. Executive producers Bill Carraro, Guyman Cassidy. Director of photography Roberto Schaefer. Yellow-hued photos magnify and switch, showing a newborn baby, then young Henry smiling in water wings. Others show him playing with Olive. Production designer Kevin Thompson, edited by Matt Chesson. Blanched photos flip from Henry as a teenager to candid moments being with and kissing Athena. Visual effects designer Kevin Todd Hogg. Home movie footage shows Athena twirling in a backyard. Music composed by Ash and Spencer. Snapshots show Henry with his parents. Costume designer Frank Fleming. Casting by Francine Maisler, CSA, Alexa L. Fogel, CSA. Drifting illustrations of fish shift to the flippers and bodies of underwater walruses. Ewan McGregor. Naomi Watts. Ryan Gosling. As the screen fades to black, shards of broken glass rise upward and white fragments assemble into a title, Stay. Credits continue over footage of a cloudy sky, flitting birds in a golden pasture. Janine Garofalo. B.D. Wong. And Bob Hoskins. Waves roll in on an ocean shore. Kate Burton, Michael Gaston. Mark Margolis, Elizabeth Reaser. A Regency Enterprises presentation. a new Regency production. Aerial footage of roads, forested flatland, and lakes fades to black. Credits roll. Unit production managers Bill Carraro, Neri Kyle Tannenbaum, First Assistant Director Michael Lerman, Second Assistant Director Peter Thorell. Cast, Ewan McGregor as Sam Foster, Ryan Gosling as Henry Lethem, Kate Burton as Mrs. Lethem, Naomi Watts as Lila Culpepper, Elizabeth Reaser as Athena, Bob Hoskins as Dr. Leon Patterson, Janine Garofalo as Dr. Beth Levy, B.B. Wong as Dr. Wren, John Tormey as Custodian, Piano Mover Number 1, Jose Ramon Rosario as Cabbie, Piano Mover Number 2, Becky Ann Baker as Paramedic Number 1, Butch Cook, Lisa Crone is Paramedic Number 2. Gregory Mitchell is Dance Instructor. John Domenici is Boy Young Henry. Jessica Hecht is Boy's Mother. Sterling K. Brown is Frederick Devon. Amy Sedaris is Tony. Michael Devine is Security Guard. Jolly Abraham is Young Woman, Intern. Mark Margolis is Businessman. Mary Testa is Waitress Number 1. Angela Pietropinto is Englishwoman, Waitress Number 2. Oni Feda Lampley is Daisy, Waitress Number 3. Jarleth Conroy is Englishman. Michael Gaston is Sheriff Kennelly, Security Officer. Noah Bean is Clerk, Student Guide. Isaac de Bancole is Professor. G.A. Aguilar as Bicyclist, Stunt Coordinator. Riley G. Matthews Jr. is Officer Number 1. Vito Violante is Officer Number 2. Douglas Crosby is Psych Ward Paramedic Number 1. Blaze Corrigan is Psych Ward Paramedic Number 2. Hank Ulau is Noodle Man. Mam Smith is Dancer Number 1. Caroline Lepinon is Dancer Number 2. Dancers, Joan Chang, Ron DeJesus, Carolyn Dorfman, Emily Gajewski, Noelle McDuffie, Kevin Osgood, Elizabeth H. Parkinson, Karine Plantadit-Paggio, John Celia, Kyle Sheldon, Tom Titone, Pamela B. Wagner, Henry Lethem Stunt Double, Keith Siglinger, Sam Foster Stunt Double, Jeffrey Dowell. Special prosthetic effects by Steve Johnson's Edge Effects Incorporated. Visual effects by the FX Cartel, Buzz Image Group, Klon Films Incorporated, Merlin Visual Effects, Fog Studio Incorporated, Frantic Films Intelligent Creatures, Computer Animated Light Effects by Image Savant, Visual Effects by Riot, Music Consultants Karen Rockman and Oliver Luckett, Music Editor Malcolm Fife, Vocalist Maria Jett, Songs, Aleph 2, written by R. Parks, performed by Fotech, Something's Got to Change, written and performed by Holly Marilyn, Angel, written by Robert Del Naha, Brantley Marshall, Andrew Vowles, and Horace Andy, performed by Massive Attack. These Eyes, written by Burton Cummings and Randy Bachman, performed by The Guess Who. Cold Water, written and performed by Damian Rice. Who Am I? Animatrix Edit, written by Peter Kruder, performed by Peace Orchestra, vocals by Hubert Tubbs. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. Copyright 2005 by Regency Entertainment USA Incorporated in the U.S. Copyright 2005 by Monarchy Enterprises SARL in the rest of the world. All rights reserved. Regency Entertainment USA Incorporated and Monarchy Enterprises SARL are the authors of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. Regency and Regency's R logo are registered trademarks of Monarchy Enterprises SARL. The events, characters, and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, or to actual events or firms is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability.